Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ireland begins another push in Brussels later this month to retain our derogation to the nitrates directive, something that is seen as vital for Ireland's dairy industry, according to farming organisations. Now, the directive aims to protect water from agricultural pollution by limiting the amount of fertiliser farmers can use per hectare and effectively the number of livestock they can have. But year after year, reports have shown that Ireland's water quality is not up to standard, with agriculture the main culprit in many areas. So, should the government be pushing to retain this derogation at all, or is it time to let it go in the interests of clean water? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Jennifer Whitmore, who's a TD with the Social Democrats and spokesperson on climate, and Ciarán Mullooly, Independent Ireland MEP for Midlands North West. And thank you both for being with us to talk about this. Ciarán, I'll begin with you. I mean, whatever about some belated improvement in water quality in some places, most people admit that we will miss now our agreed EU water quality targets, won't we? And the question is, why should Europe trust us when we appear to have shown over many years that we really haven't taken water quality seriously enough?
Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Jennifer.
I suppose to answer your question, I'm in my office in Strasbourg this morning, and 2 months ago, the European Commissioner for the Environment, Jessica Rosswall, was here, and we discussed this very issue. And I asked for more time, more support for Irish farmers to be able to improve and continue the improvements that they've started. I told her about the work we were doing. I told her about our unique system, and she gets it. We have a grass-based system for our cattle, for our cows in Ireland. It's different to elsewhere in Europe. Our cattle are out. They're on the grass, they're on the ground all the time. She gets it. She also understands how significant it is to our country. This is a huge sector for us. You know, we've 173,000 people employed across 135,000 farms. And I said to her, you know, if we're showing improvements, Commissioner, can we have more time?
She said to me,
number one, we have to have dialogue and testing on a regular basis, and you must show improvements. And that's why I'm pleased with the reaction from the EPA and the last published report. I have it in front of me this morning, Claire, the nitrogen concentrations in selected rivers, which has shown improvements for the first 6 months of last year, mm-hmm. has shown improvements in several areas. I'm not saying we have not work to do. I'm open-eyed about this situation. We have huge work to do. But when I look at rivers and catchments in this survey, such as the Slaney River, and I see that it's no longer at risk of not meeting our obligations under the water catchment framework, I'm pleased we are making progress.
Right, so that's a preliminary data set for last year over a six-month period, but Europe will be considering, won't it, a three-year period. So that six-month snapshot probably isn't going to cut it with them, would you say?
Well, that's why I think the critical issue is that we must be given an opportunity to for some time on this. When you look at that particular survey, okay, it's only 20 catchments are looked at, but I have to be positive about this because that shows improvements in the Bandon River, the Slaney River, the Boyne River. And to me, one of the things that stands out is where there are problems still. The rivers that are actually at risk still in that system are not exactly well known for dairy farms, Claire. The rivers such as the Tolka in Dublin, the Liffey, and the Shannon Estuary, which wouldn't be better known for dairy mm-hmm. either. So these are separate issues, as you know. These are areas where the state must step up
okay.
to the plate with regard.
Fair
to
enough. I see your point, but it is only a snapshot. And have you been given any indication that the EU will take that on board? Because they are looking at that three-year period, aren't they? Not the 6 months with the 20 catchment areas, as you mentioned.
They certainly are, but they're also looking at why we got this derogation in the first place and our unique system. This is why it's important. People, if you go across Europe, Claire, and your listeners will appreciate this, in terms of beef and in terms of cattle and cows, they won't see animals in the fields. They're not there. We have intensive farming going on in sheds across Europe. It's a different structure. And what Irish beef has made its name throughout Europe for the quality it is, based on grass-fed. If I go out for a dinner here tonight in Strasbourg, on the menu it will say Irish beef. Our brand is based on that green, mm-hmm. green lush farm grass we're talking about. We certainly have improvements to make.
Okay.
We know that.
Well,
we have obligations, but we're getting there.
Well, let's hear from Jennifer on this now. So according to what Ciarán is telling us, and we know there is that snapshot report from 2024, the water quality does seem to be improving in places at last. He says it shows that farmers are engaging. Do you accept that, that we can take that to the table in Europe?
So I think that report is welcome, but I would really caution. It's 20 sampling sites when normally it's 1,500 in the full EPA's monitoring programme, and it is one point in time. Now, what we've had is a situation where over the last 20 years, we have seen our water condition go down and down and down. We haven't seen any improvements in it. So I would be very hesitant to take this one report and say that, you know, that this is sort of the holy grail and we've made it now. Like in the 1980s, we would have had 500 pristine rivers. Now we have around 20. So the condition of our waters is very, very poor. Our biodiversity is also in a really, really dire strait. So what we have is a situation where our environment is being heavily impacted by the agriculture system that we have in place. And it is primarily because of the intensification of dairy. We've had a 50% increase.
And you can say that with confidence, because you heard Ciarán's point there, that this snapshot shows that some of the real problem areas are in areas where there aren't any cattle and there aren't any cows.
So there is other problems as well. So, I mean, we also have issues when it comes to wastewater treatment plants. And I think Uisce Éireann have an awful lot of work to do. So it's not just agriculture where we have problems, but the primary impactor of water pollution in this country is agricultural. And I think what we've had is 20 years of promises that things would change, things would get better. The derogation was given to Ireland solely on the basis that we could maintain our water conditions and that we would improve them. And we haven't, over 20 years, we haven't done it.
So are you firmly of the view that we need to now let the derogation go?
I think we need to be phasing it out at this stage. And I understand that, you know, that it will be very difficult. I think what we've seen over decades is farmers have been sort of pushed down this very intensive route. And that has impacted on our environment, but it has been driven by government policy.
Mm-hmm. And now they're being asked to reverse out of that.
And I can understand how challenging that is. But what we would want to see in the Social Democrats is for a phase out, but that transition be supported. Mm-hmm.
But you heard what Ciarán said there about meeting the commissioner. I mean, there does seem to be a negotiation on the table here.
Look, the commissioner will have to go by the facts. So it will be the scientific data that will be presented. And we've seen, like, I think Ireland is the only country that's actually reapplying for the derogation. We've seen in other countries where the derogation was abruptly stopped. Mm-hmm. And that left those farmers in absolute dire straits.
Things have changed, though, now. And there is more of a business focus in this iteration of the commission. I mean, this might be more of a political than scientific discussion now.
Well, it should be scientific. I mean, really, we need to be looking at the condition of our waters. I mean, that's what's important. And, you know, I think we sometimes talk about this in the abstract, but, you know, like if our rivers are polluted, that impacts on all of us. It impacts on drinking water. It impacts on our ability to use rivers for recreational purpose. You know, we need to be able to have good quality rivers. And it's not something that we should be just sort of thinking it's farming or good quality river. We should be able to have both. So, and I do think there's many farmers who are able to manage. Like, and I think when you look at this issue, there's 120,000 farms in this country and 7,000 of them are derogation farms. So it's a very, very small percentage of farmers that require this. And I just think the amount of political capital that's been used sort of pushing for this, when actually what we need is support for the entire sector and to make sure...
Not just the 7,000. Okay, well, Ciarán, can I bring you in on that point? Like, we are spending a lot of political capital on this for 7,000 farmers out of 120,000, according to Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, I'd pick up on two things, Claire, John. Firstly, that issue of the land. It's a common kind of a myth that this only affects 7,000 farmers. If you do what Jennifer wants in terms of getting rid of the derogation, you cause a problem immediately for those farmers who are stocked to a certain level at the moment and have land themselves, either they own it or they have it let. Now, if the derogation goes, they'll have an immediate problem with regard, next month, with regard to the number of stock they can have on their land. Do you know what they'll do, Claire? They'll go elsewhere in the country and they'll start to rent land, put up the price of land, and start a land war in our country again. And that will affect thousands, tens of thousands of farmers. So it's not just to do with 7,000 farmers at all. One other issue she raised as well.
But it still is, because if that problem happens, it'll be caused by the people who are applying for the derogation. And that is, according to the 2023 figures, it's only just over 7,000. So if there is to be a land war, it'll be those applicants for the derogation who'll cause it.
No, but are you saying then to people who are smaller farmers not affected by the derogation, who are letting land, say for instance in the west of Ireland and the Midlands, to just hard luck that the derogation is gone now, that you, when you go to lend, rent your land at 11-month auction, that you're outbid by a larger farmer?
But Ciarán, are you saying to everybody in the country that it's fair? Are you saying to everybody in the country that it's just hard luck that we have to keep a position where our rivers are being polluted all the time, where we can't actually use them? Well, that's what's happened, and we've had 20 years of it.
What I said at the beginning was that the work we had to do. I said nothing about luck involved in this at all. I've gone out to see farmers over the last few months around the Midlands who have problems. If the derogation goes, they will lose. So what are they doing about it? I said, what are you doing about it? They're bringing in a nutrient management plan for the first time. They're looking at low emission slurry spreading. What's that, someone might say? That's a brand new piece of gear, an injection sprayer for the land, which costs over 50 grand to buy. But they're doing it. They're going to the bank and they're getting the money because they want to stay in this business. They want to have water quality improved. One other issue, Jennifer, it won't be just down. The scientific measurements will go on. But at the end of the day, I'm informed here in Europe, there will be a vote on this at the end of the day by our partners in Europe. The European Council will actually vote on this at the end of the day as well. We must show scientific improvement. But at the end of the day, I think around Europe, there's an appreciation of the type of farming we do. We do it well. There's also an appreciation that we are trying to deal with the situation. And we're also calling on the state to move on those municipal situations, because I went to Newport and County Mayo Clare only a couple of weeks ago, looked out into Clew Bay to see raw sewage going out into that bay. Irish Water are taking on a certain amount of projects around the country. That project is not even on the list. So farmers will ask you today, why is it that we have the gun put to our head on this issue while the state is not meeting its requirements to reduce its pollution?
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, can you answer that question? Because you can understand why farmers are asking it, right?
Absolutely. And look, I think, you know, we need the state to be doing their job as well. And I think they really haven't. But I think in relation to this issue, what we see is continually government and politicians pretending the business of as usual in agriculture is going to be able to continue. And it's not. And I think the biggest risk from that is that farmers don't have certainty. I mean, they're business people. They need to know what you know, they're going to have in a year or 2 years' time. They need certainty. And I think it's a very uncertain time for them because they're constantly hoping with fingers crossed that things will get done in Europe. Like, this will come to a vote at the end of the year, right?
Now, so you accept that now? It's not just the science, it will be a vote.
Well, it is a vote, but it needs to be on the science as well, though, Ciarán. I mean, you can't have a situation where we're completely ignoring for another 20 years the serious water pollution that we have in this country just in order to keep an intensive agricultural system going. I mean, that's just not acceptable. I mean, this isn't just this is a social issue as well as an economic issue. But what I will also say is that it's not just whether or not the EU will vote this through, because there's a risk that won't happen, but also whether or not the EU is taken to court or Ireland is taken to court. So we've seen in other countries where there was a court case, I think it was in Denmark, where there was a court case and the government was found to be in non-compliance with EU law, and they had to stop their derogation within 3 months, and it left the farmers in an awful state because they had, you know, there was no plan B, there was no transition for them. So what we're saying is the government needs to work with farmers to move to a more sustainable model of farming, because really that's the problem.
Okay.
The intensive model is the problem.
We will be watching it closely, but for now, thank you both very much, Jennifer Whitmore and Ciarán Mullooly, for joining us. Still to come in the next hour, Katrina Perry joins us from Washington as Micheál Martin prepares to enter the Oval Office to meet Donald Trump. The hosts of the wildly popular podcast Empire are going to tell us why they've decided to focus on the story of Ireland from the Normans right up to the present day, and will have advice too on wills and probate with legal expert Andrea McNamara. So if you have any questions, do get in touch now. The number on WhatsApp is 0870 32 32 32. Coming up next, that announcement from Manchester United that they plan to replace Old Trafford with a brand new 100,000 seat stadium.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.